Welcome to the German Grand Prix podcast with me, Kevin Shepherd, and you.
I don't want to talk about it. Right now, to be honest with you, I just want to get on the plane and not do this podcast. If we do the podcast, it's just going to be blah, 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 blah.
Fucking shit! Fucking beauty! You fucking beauty! Fucking cunt! I got a fucking kangaroo!
Fucking Molly, yes.
Put a red ball on the barbie! I fucking want a fucking race, Mum!
I love cricket!
Oh, Stephen Dennis!
F1 podcast
with Terry Saunders
and Kevin Shepp.
It's Germany. It's
Guten Tag, wie geht's, good anchor. Don't bring Bernie.
Bernie and Max's favourite place, Germany. They both like Nazis, Germany.
Yeah, should we start with that then? Let's start talking about
I feel a bit ill.
Mental. Well, you have to excuse the strained voices in the podcast because just before we were about to record, my wife phoned me up.
You've got a rash coming.
I've got a rash on my hand. I feel all itchy. My wife phoned me up to inform me that over the weekend, 13 or 14 children at the school have been diagnosed as having the swine flu. The swine flu.
I do feel quite ill now. Oh my god.
Well, I do feel a bit gravelly. Which is worrying in that obviously my children have been exposed to those very children. One of the children with swine flu has been in my house with the flu.
When was this?
Friday.
What?
Yeah, and then where did we go and watch the race, Terry?
Yeah, we went to watch the race in the McLaren pub in Guildford.
Yeah. So I have inadvertently
possibly
given the whole of McLaren swine flu.
Which is not what they need this year. Let's be fair.
I'm really sorry.
They could see you now. This is you've admitted it.
Wouldn't it be great? That's our only one in into the real world of Formula One when we see on the news that McLaren have actually got swine flu. Oh. We can all sit at home going, what if Lewis misses a race?
Swine flu aside, it's the German Grand Prix just happened. Yep. Are we going to talk about
Let's talk about the news. Obviously, Bernie came out and said that he believed that at least Hitler got things done. Yep. Saddam Hussein was obviously a very good leader of his people. He was the only one that could control the people. Yep. And the Jews were to blame for the financial credit crunch.
Did he say that?
He said that as well.
But he is a Jew.
Maybe he's actually admitting something. Yeah, that's what it is.
A Jew was responsible. Oh, dear. Bernie.
What are you thinking? Maybe he is mental like we've always thought.
Like we said the other week, he's gone a bit senile. I think he's actually passed, maybe he's got swine flu. Can I Jew get swine flu? Because you know in interviews you can say something and go, of course. Hey, Hitler had the right idea. And then Jonas went,
Hitler had the right idea.
Well, I'll take away any of the sarcasm or jokery in that.
And just make it.
Make it as though you've just said that you think that killing people with lethal injections, gassing them, you know, that's a good way to run Formula One. And Ron Dennis has been very quiet on this issue. Is that because he's been gassed?
Yeah, where's Ron?
I've heard a rumour that all the McLaren got swine flu. I reckon Bernie did that.
I am Bernie Eccleston.
Oh my god.
Oh, I love Ari Vatanen.
I haven't really seen anything of him yet.
I did an interview on race day, or it might have been qualifying day. And he doesn't say automobiles. He says automobilis.
Oh, that's
automobilis is what he says. It's fucking brilliant.
He's got my vote.
He's fantastic.
That's all I know about him. That's the only thing I know about him.
He's comedy gold, Terry. I mean, this podcast, if Ari Vatanen, I mean, for starters, he's not even called Harry. He's called Ari.
Ari Vatanen.
if he's stated as the top of the FIA, Mr. It's just going to be so much funnier. We won't have to talk about the racing ever again.
His name's like a drunk old man trying to pronounce Kimi Räikkönen. Ari Räikkönen.
Oh, it's all the same. He's Finnish. Ari Vatanen.
Ari Räikkönen. Hello, Ari Vatanen. I like you very much. So, now, qualifying. I was at a wedding and I totally missed qualifying. I watched all the practices, but I totally missed qualifying. But I kept up with it on my phone. I can check that they got, text updates on the website.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, great.
Is it actually, are they quite good, though? Or is it just people saying, something's happened?
Because the thing is, the woman that writes it, a woman called Caroline Cheese, I know that sounds made up, but she also did the Wimbledon final, and I had to miss the end of that because I was on my way to a gig, and she does that, and she just adds a bit of humour to it. She's like, there's one bit where even all the rain happened, and she went, it's all kicking off! And that's what you want to read.
Yeah, I like that. It's on nice. The BBC.
So well done, BBC. I kept up. So I know what happened roughly, but didn't see any of it at all. So, well, Kevin, talk us through.
Qualifying one was all... Yeah, I can't. Do you know what? I made some notes, but it turns out it must have been quite exciting because they're pretty scant. I'll read you the...
Read the notes.
Read the notes. Okay, qualifying one, rain predicted.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for the notes, really, on qualifying one. Qualifying two, wet, dry, what the fuck happened?
Is that your note?
Yes. Well, I didn't write what the fuck, I put WTF. Yeah. Qualifying three, Weber pole, Sutil, question mark, exclamation mark. Sorry, my voice went a bit funny then. I'm feeling a bit bit ill.
Bit ill, like Sutil.
Yeah, I think what the fuck happened is that they all went out on slicks when it was spitting in qualifying two, because that's where it all really kicked off, is qualifying two.
It's all kicking off.
Yeah, exactly. She was right. She wasn't wrong.
She was right.
They all went out on slicks and then they were trying to jockey for position because there was really only one chance of getting a decent lap on slicks at this point. So they're all racing each other to get a decent position, during which time Massa went off, Nakajima went off, Lewis had a bit of a whoops. Massa's off was the longest in that he decided to go around the gravel off-road. And then it started to rain, so they all put intermediates on. At which point, Barrett... And then they're all doing laps on intermediates, and it's all a bit topsy-turvy. Barrichello does a lap on slicks, and it's all right. All of a sudden, he's 6 seconds ahead of everyone else. So they all come back in. Massa and Kovalainen both came back in to get slicks, and the mechanics went, no, we'll put...
I saw that clip on the highlights, isn't it? Was it Caroline turn his engine
turned his engine off?
Off.
He went, no, look,
fuck you,
penises.
Who is this guy in the car?
Where is he? Where did he come? Lewis would have a yellow hat on.
Sure.
Are you not the Lewis? You're the not the Lewis, aren't you? I've heard about you.
Yeah, I thought you were an urban legend.
You're like a unicorn. Yeah, the not the Lewis turned off his engine until they put slicks on.
Having a tantrum.
Rob Smedley obviously sorted out Massa because Massa was in the car just panicking that it was raining. The sky's falling in!
Head's all wet! Does that mean it's going to fall off? Oh my God, I can see water in front of my eyes.
It's all right, Massa, I'll sort this out.
I'm going blind! It's burning!
The road's all wobbly!
Oh no!
Yeah, so...
My sunflowers are going to be ruined. Massa loves his sunflowers.
He loves a broad bean in a jar with a bit of blotting paper. He loves to grow them.
What?
Didn't you not do that at school?
What?
You said sunflowers. My kids grow sunflowers at school, but when I was at school, I used to grow a broad bean in a jar with blotting paper. Don't look at me like I'm a nut job. You did do that.
No.
You fucking did.
Where would the roots go?
In the jar! you don't keep it in the jar. It's not like hydroponics for kids. You eventually transplant.
What's that?
Hydroponics is growing plants without soil.
What? You need soil. Otherwise they just start growing in the packet.
This is going to be on Channel 5 when good jokes go bad.
Look, there wasn't a good joke.
It was a joke about him being a bit like a kid and growing broad beans in the back of his garage.
Sorry,
in
what
jars.
Happens?
You put the blotting paper around the jar.
On the inside.
On the inside. Yeah. Not on the outside.
I don't understand. The whole thing sounds like voodoo to me.
You put the blotting paper on the inside of the jar, put the broad bean in the jar, and you water the paper, and you can watch it grow. But the beauty of it is you can see the roots and what happens and the plant growing up and stuff. And
so when does it flower?
When you take it out and put it in real dirt. And then it makes... Yeah.
I don't feel very well. Right. So that was... somehow that was qualifying. So... glad I missed it, to be honest.
It's all about broad beans.
Just Massa showing us his jars. We all know by now Mark Webber went and won the bloody race.
Yeah.
Fair dinkum.
Well, fair dinkum. Definitely fair dinkum in that he had a few penalties along the way.
Yeah, a stop go penalty. Not a stop go. Oh, I'm showing my age there. Oh, I remember them.
Do you remember stop go days? Oh. Well, it all kicked off on the first lap, didn't it? Because that's what we're going to keep saying now. Kicked off. Hamilton got a fantastic start. But
wow.
It turned out that as
cursed.
He cursed it up the outside, he went over the bump. And as he cut across Mark Webber, that Red Bull must have sharpened end plates on its front wing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just went... Punch her straight away.
That's engineering all over. It's like a wacky racer design.
It's a little tiny... but obviously...
Didn't you hear the radio? Weber's going, just starting the race, mate. I noticed there's a new button on the steering wheel. Is that... Have we got curves?
No, that's to put the tax and the horn slick on the straight.
Fucking great, mate.
Sweet. What else do Aussies say in a stereotypical way?
I'm going to put a shrimp on the end plate.
Ah.
Fuck you, mate.
Stephen Dennis.
He gets a puncher, and you've got to remember at this point, I'm in the McLaren pub watching.
No, at this point, I'm in Guildford. Because basically, we went to the McLaren pub because I woke up, I stayed at a friend's house after a wedding in a town, a couple of towns away from Guildford. And I literally woke up about 11 o'clock thinking, there's no way I can get myself into the race. There's no way. Yeah, and then the guy that I was staying with said, well, I'll drop you off at Guildford, you can get a train from there. And I went, Guildford? So I ran Kev. Well, I texted you and said, I fancy going to Guildford for the race. What are you doing? You said, I might risk domestic violence.
I'm going to risk domestic violence because I was at my father-in-law's house for a Sunday lunch and we'd not been there for a while. So it was kind of...
Rude?
Yeah, rude.
Don't we have got swine flu? What happens next?
If we have got swine flu, we go on the government website and they'll tell us... Well, I think if you have got swine flu and you're not a kid... They're not really that bothered.
What if you act like a kid?
Yeah, well, we should probably phone up.
Hello.
If you've got underlying health problems, you should phone up.
I just had a pastry. Didn't go for a run.
I felt a bit tired this morning. You've got a hangover. That's underlying health issues. Yeah. We should tell them.
Got a spot.
I got a really annoying spot. I got bitten by a mosquito.
Oh, my God!
Maybe it was an infected mosquito.
You got malaria and swine flu. Oh. And you're gay.
I'm gay. Anyway, this is all going to have to be edited out now.
Right, so...
I went to the pub because they were shopping and I left. And they said, yeah, go if you want. One of those. It was one of those. Go if you want. And then
I'd rather you didn't.
Yeah, it's kind of rude. But it all worked out all right in the end. Because by the time I got back, due to cock-ups in the house... I walked in as they were serving dinner.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't actually miss dinner. I just missed sitting around watching the Grand Prix
nice. In
the house. So no biggie. It was all right.
So now during the start, because we'd been dropped off in Guildford and it was me and my lovely wife. Well, not wife. God. I've actually got a headache coming on. this is total hypochondria, but it's happened. It's really...
You know that you when your wife walks through the door, let's call her your wife because otherwise you have to go back and edit it. I've got swine flu.
She was in a school as well, so.
Oh my God, we're cross pollinating the whole world. First McLaren and now another school.
Oh, this is terrible. I might have to stay somewhere else. I'll stay at yours.
Because yeah, we've all got it anyway.
Fuck it, doesn't matter. I'm a good house guest. I like to wash up.
No, you don't.
I do.
Or in someone else's house. So, I don't like washing up.
So, I am in Guildford Station at about 5 to 1 going, I've walked to this pub once before, but I don't remember where it is. So I got my Google Maps out and I was trying to find it. We then start to walk. It's really hot. I've got a jumper on. I'm carrying lots of bags. And do you ever do that thing where you think, well, I've got time to stop and take my jumper off. So what I did was just
sweat this out until we get there.
And so, but then I went the wrong way and I ended up going across and I read the map and it wasn't right. And there's no street signs in Guildford. I got there about 20 past to keep a long story about as long as it is.
to keep a long story long.
I got there and I was sweating so much and I walk in and so I've missed this whole puncture. And it was a weird thing when, it's a very interesting thing when you miss the start of a race because you don't realise just quite how much you need to keep abreast of everything.
You need to see the start about 5 times before you really understand what's going on.
So I walk in, say a quick hello, and you tell me that Hamilton fucked up. Not much has happened.
I tell you quietly, Hamilton fucked up.
Hamilton fucked up. And I go, woohoo! Oh, no. Then you say that Webber's had a drive-through.
Yeah.
No, the drive-through penalty.
For barging Barrichello.
Now, this is when I got really confused because I went and got a drink and I was watching and it said that Webber was in the lead. So I kept
thinking, and he was still in the lead after the drive-through.
But I thought he was still to take it. So I was getting really confused going, well, he's got 3 laps, surely to do it. Then they kept saying, and on the commentary they kept saying, now Webber's had a drive-through. And I'm like, what, have they not updated the captions or something? This is really, really, really weird.
Well, then I look up and it says that Sutil's in second place. And I'm going, I've fucking missed a star here. I've
missed something.
And the worst is Sutil went into the pits from second place. And I thought to myself, he's going to fuck it up.
He's going to fuck this up. Of course he is.
Poor cunt. And then he comes out, sandwiched between two Ferraris and his old nemesis, Kimi...
Whoops! Sorry!
Raikkonen.
Kimi Racing Incident Raikkonen.
Rang straight in. Well, it was weird because... Arguably, I don't think either were at fault. You know, Kimi was taking his racing line. They were just coming out at the same time. One of them should have backed off, but they were still racing. But surely, if you're Adrian Sutil in a car that does not deserve to be running in second place, you go, do you know what?
Third's all right.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll back off of it. Yeah, one less than what I was on anyway. It's all right. And it was just heartbreaking that after that, another pit stop to change the wing and coming back out. He was in 17th. He was effectively going,
that's better.
Ah, that's where he lies.
That's better. It's all right. I can handle Braun. They're not really called Honda anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Force India going out there. Don't like it.
Bourdais handing his notice. We've missed that.
Yeah, so no, I didn't. I'm normally Mr. Keeping ahead of the news, but I didn't know all this about Bourdais being hoodwinked, fired.
Was he fired then? Is that the way?
Well, he must have been. You wouldn't quit halfway through, would you?
Yeah, you wouldn't just go, you're right.
Know, this lifelong opportunity.
When Piquet's had all these chances, you'd have thought he'd have probably done that.
So Bourdais is apparently gone,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame, because this means this will be the last time we get to sing Bourdais, oh, what a damn day, bye-bye, Bourdais.
Bye, Bourdais.
So, yeah, as you put it, he handed in his notice.
He went up to the pit wall. It did look like he'd just given them a bit of paper as well.
Yeah,
I'll just get my stuff. Yeah, all right, we're a bit busy.
Can I still come to drinks on Friday?
Yeah.
Did you get me a present?
Yeah. We can update the listeners as well. I mean, this is probably a little bit out of sync, but the Sutil and Raikkonen incident was... although decided after the race, which was a bit fucking weird.
Yeah, because let's go through the two incidents of the race in that way. Webber shunting Barrichello, that was a penalty awarded pretty quickly, right?
Two or three laps. Yes, yeah, you get a drive through.
There you go, done. Now this one, Raikkonen and Sutil.
Let's discuss away, that after the race.
Why?
Ferrari.
Yeah, I think basically it was. Well, let's see. If Raikkonen wins the race, we don't want to give him a penalty. But, you know, if he comes eighth or more or less, you know, we'll give him a place drop.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't finish.
If he retires, we'll probably announce it quickly in the papers.
Yeah, and we'll say it was a racing incident.
Yeah.
Oh, he retired. There you go. Ferrari didn't lose face.
Lovely. Still a bit weird, wasn't it? And obviously in the McLaren pub, that conclusion was reached quite quickly.
Yeah, not even after the race. Those McLaren stewards understood it straight away. So then the race kind of settled down a bit. There was a bit of argy-bargy, pits, this, that, and the other. But it seems that, because Barrichello was...
Yeah, but this is where it does get a bit... I mean, Barrichello, I mean, should we skip straight to that? I mean...
So Barrichello, it was... I can't remember the exact... Was he in the lead or was he just...
Well, he started the race in first... But when they went round the first corner...
He was first.
He was first. And then it all got a bit confusing in that he was doing all right... But they had to stop three times.
Of all the things in Formula One, like we talk about the overtaking should be important, this and the other, I'm starting to actually get a bit, maybe some people like this, I'm getting a bit pissed off that it's so much to do with the fucking tyres. It's really starting to wind me up in that they design all this fucking car, and then at the end of the day they go, the tyres are graining, this is shit. It's like, I don't want that to be a fact. I don't know why. Why is that?
Why can't there be a track where it's optimum temperature for the both? Because there must be a point where they meet, kind of. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's that thing of, I don't know why. I mean, maybe we could have some comments on this on the website, please. That'd be quite nice.
If you know.
Because it wasn't even if you know. Do you like it being based around tyres so much? Because I get a bit frustrated that the tyres seem to have such an overwhelming factor. Now, you could say the tyres are only a bit of the car that touches the ground and the track is important. Yeah. And that's a valid point. And if you like the... If it adds another element to you with the soft tyres and the super soft and the hard and the whatever, and the green driver and the non-green driver and all that kind of shit, that's fine. But I get really wound up by that. I just think the tyres ruin the day too many times. A potentially good race or a good race by one team is ruined by the fact that weekend they can't manage their tyres.
Yeah. Surely it shouldn't be about them failing in it. It should be them excelling in an area, not... Because you were good this weekend because the other team failed a little bit.
Because yeah, I mean, am I oversimplifying this by saying that if all these races where like this weekend and the last race, Braun didn't manage their tyres very well, and a few years before Red Bull didn't, but if they both had, if tyres weren't such an issue, then surely they'd both be as fast as each other and they'd be properly dicing it out. And
this
happened with Ferrari and McLaren for the last few years as well. It's like, this is a Ferrari track, the tyres are good here, this is a McLaren track, and it's like, it swings and swings and swings. When actually, I'd really like it to be, you know, take the tyres out as a factor, just go back to one standard tyre. I don't know, because that still wouldn't work, because they design the cars around tyres and they run a different way. But just make the tyres more hardy, you know, just make the tyres harder and less prone to fucking up. And
yeah, because those super slow-mos were great to see the tyres fucked. And these tyres do seem to look fucked a lot quicker than the other ones. And invisible, even without a super slow-mo, you can see those tracks around the tyres when they've hit a flat spot or something like that. So, yeah.
That's my thing on tyres.
Wankers.
So, but then...
Yeah, but this is the whole Rubens scenario, right? Three pit stops, fair enough. They're going to come fifth and sixth, which I think is their standard format for cold weather. Fifth and sixth is what they're going to manage in cold weather. But this is where I see that Rubens has a point, because there's three pit stops, right? Rubens comes in for the first of those pit stops.
Uh-huh.
And they say there was a technical issue with the hose.
Uh-huh.
But the hose was on for a lot longer after the tyres had been changed.
Yeah, but because they had to use a second hose.
Did they use a second hose?
Yeah, that's what happened. If you look at this, because no one really noticed it. Even on the highlights, I noticed that no one spotted it on the first, it's only on the replay. But what happened is that the hose guy's got to put the hose on. It won't go in. So the guy goes, oh, fuck, 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 and they go and get the reserve hose.
I didn't see that.
Exactly. So that's why it's 11-second pit stop, because it took 5 seconds to get the hose in.
I'm with you.
Now, Rubens obviously didn't see that either, which is why he got a little bit narky.
Well, he did get a bit annoyed, didn't he?
A little bit
ungod. A little bit tense.
It's time of the month.
Oh, okay, because I had this whole conspiracy theory worked out in my head in the same way, because I saw the hose stay on for longer after the tyres. I'm thinking, why is it on so long?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when he comes in for his third stop.
And it's on for a while
It's off before the tyres are finished.
Oh.
So you think, well, why don't you just take the bit that it was on after and put it on so it's on the same amount of time as the tyres are being changed?
Clever, but right.
Yeah, and that's what he saw as well. So me and Rubens. Now, Rel. So he's a bit fucked off, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Natalie went to the British Grand Prix, and a bit of an update from her.
And that cunt didn't write back.
What cunt?
The American cunt that I was so nice about.
You see, American cunt, how Terry can turn.
Fuck you.
Yeah, Natalie wrote from the... she went to the Grand Prix, and she did say it was actually boring from a spectator's point of view at the Silverstone Grand Prix, which helped us out.
Yeah.
Because we were worrying. She said the only point worth noticing was when Kovalainen was smashed into. But she said at that point she'd got up to go to the toilet.
Ooh.
Believing it was a safe time to do so. She said the after party was good, because everyone booed at Max and Bernie and the current situation.
Oh.
That's quite exciting. And she said Lewis came with his girlfriend.
Ooh.
And as they walked onto the stage, somebody shout, "Your girlfriend's a man!"
Wow.
So lots of grief. And she said that her husband, or I think
it's quite fancy that woman.
Yeah, she's quite sexy. I don't think she looks like a man, but she's asked us for our opinion because she asked her husband, and he said, "Yeah, I think she looks a bit odd."
No, but, I would. I definitely would.
Yeah, Natalie. What I have to tell you at this point is, if myself or Terry were asked by our current partners, I say current, like we're going to get any more. But if we were asked, we'd say the same thing. We'd say, "She's got a funny nose."
Yeah, totally.
Look at her funny eyes.
Do you fancy her?
She's just not my type. Yeah.
I usually say looks a bit smelly.
Looks a bit smelly. I like that one.
Because then you don't have to lie and say you don't think she's attractive. But I think she looks a bit smelly.
Looks a bit smelly. I like that. I like that. She looks a bit smelly. So yes, Natalie, we definitely would. And not to cause marital unrest in your house, but your husband probably would too.
Yep.
But he's just being a good husband.
Well done.
And saying, "Oh no, she looks a bit like a man."
Yeah.
But that was just because somebody else had already given him the feed line in the crowd.
Otherwise, you'd have been stuck. You'd be there going,
smelly doesn't seem right.
Oh, God.
Oh, she looks a bit long. but anyway, yeah. And Natalie also said that Eddie Jordan's band were quite good.
I think he had a band.
He has got a band. I mean, I don't know if he sings or not.
I hope he doesn't, because the song is gone forever.
The songs will just be, there was this time I had a team called Jordan. No,
here's a song called Yellow Submarine. In the town near where I was born there, but I didn't live there all my life. I was born, but I didn't live that long. But, you know, then we moved back. Was a man. It was, I say it was a man. He was more like a Nicole Scherzinger. Sailed the sea. Well, it was more of a lake, really, to be honest. But, you know, I don't know.
I mention I once sailed a boat?
So,
thanks for the update on the Silverstone Grand Prix.
So, we've been a bit rubbish, but let's actually say Webber won the race.
Webber won the race. And it did well. A swear at the end, which I had to cut out.
You fucking beauty! Then in the highlights, it just said,
beauty!
Yeah, so he won, he's happy. Oh, bless him. His dad, we know the luck he's had.
Yeah, yeah.
I read an interview today, apparently his leg really... I didn't, because you know they kept saying, oh, his leg.
We were very unsympathetic at the time.
And I read that he'd done an interview today, said something like, at the start of the season, it was still properly broken.
Yeah, compound fracture.
Yeah, and it was ruined. Just the metal holding it together.
Yeah. And I saw an interview, he's standing next to Ricky Ponting in this feature they did, and he's showing him his leg, and he's got a normal leg, and then he's got this lump where a screw's still attached to his leg. Oh. It looks like he's got an extra kneecap. It's that huge. Yeah, and apparently there's a picture on the internet. David Coulthard referred to this picture, right? So if you do know where this picture is, could you send it to us? But there's a picture, apparently, of Mark Webber after the crash, and his dad standing over him, and you can see the bone protruding from his leg.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that. I've since looked and can't find it. I found pictures of him in foil. I've found pictures of the bike. I've found pictures of him in a freezer. I've found some odd pictures where he's got Band-Aid on. But apart from that,
wow. No.
So, Mark, we're sorry we misunderstood your leg.
Yeah, so well done.
And, you are a winner.
But we've got to have a final mention for Rubens and his little rant.
Oh,
and the poor Braun press woman.
If you get a chance, it's on YouTube. It's still there. You can watch it. The Braun press woman is brilliant. Because she starts just by sitting there. She's got her little headphones on. She's just thinking, another day at the office. Poor old Rube's been stitched up. Well, he thinks he has, but he'll be all right. And then he just goes, it's a fantastic example by the team, and she's still looking pretty rosy, of how to lose a race. And at that point...
She starts to pay attention suddenly.
Her mouth visibly opens a little bit. She bites her lip, classic sign of somebody not liking what they're hearing. She takes off her headphones, brushes her hair because she realises this is going to be on the news. And then just stands there for ages looking around going, will someone please help me?
I think she's got a red button in her palm. Pressing it quick.
He's talking.
A red dot appears on Rubens. So Rubens rightly pissed off, but then Braun just comes back and says, well, he had the 11th fastest time, he can fuck off.
So Till was going faster,
and I think this proves that Barrichello won't be there next year.
I wonder whether
he won't turn up in the next race. I'd really like that if he stayed in such a mood that, like Anthony Davidson or something in.
And the same press lady's there, this time with makeup, eyeshadow, curled hair, standing by the car, ready.
But that's the race. So the championship is actually hotting up a bit now. So
yeah, because they've really closed the gap. I didn't quite realise how serious a gap shrinking exercise this weekend was.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I do still think that if the next couple of races are hot, then Braun are going to...
Yeah, fingers crossed. Again. I mean, I'm quite...
I don't know. No, I want to go. Let's have it go to the wire again.
Yeah, I just wanted I kind of wanted Jensen to sew it up in a medals way before the thing had finished, just so we could go, yeah, Bernie, medals would have been a great idea, wouldn't they?
Yeah, there's that. But I also would quite like, after my years of hatred of Jensen Button, for him to get quite close. Then fucker! We're still world champions the same amount of times. Yeah.
You killed my joke, motherfucker.
So that's it. So,
hungry next?
Oh, I am a bit, actually.
But you haven't got swine flu. One of the symptoms of swine flu is loss of appetite.
I'm just going to keep eating, no matter how I feel.
So if we're not here next week, it's because we've got the porky plague. If McLaren don't do very well next week, it's our fault.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
So we're back for Hungary. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.